morning, Midland First. What a gift it is to worship together this morning. We have a few announcements for you today, beginning with Pat Melkovina with One Week, One Street.
Brothers and sisters, it is my pleasure to invite you to remain standing in your pews as we begin our worship service, singing our praises to God. I just want to point out that today the hymns and the songs that have been selected are a reflection of what Pastor Bethany has communicated to me about what her passion is. And Bethany's passion is sharing God's word and sharing the news and telling the story. And so today, Shout to the North and I Love to Tell the Story are picked to honor your passion and your call. So let us sing.
This morning. It's a little rainy outside, isn't it? I'm so glad you all could join us today. I just want to say we had a wonderful turnout yesterday. We had the Be a Blessing Saturday, Serving Saturday, and we did a wonderful job. Pastor Bethany graced us with her presence, and we were so thankful that she was there to see that all the kids were able to attend. We did 27 school bags for kids that will be sent overseas, and some of these kids have never had those type of school supplies, crayons to use. So we are very thankful that they learned how to, it doesn't matter what your age, but we can service our community and we can help those in need. So on that note, I'd just like to say, Pastor Bethany, on behalf of, I know a lot of people are going to thank you, I just have to add this in, it's we appreciate you as the children of the church here, the ministry. I just want to thank you for your spiritual guidance. I want to thank you for your warm-hearted, encouraging prayers and for the many seeds that you have planted. And we are going to go forward with you in our hearts. So we just want to commend you for being there to help us with our guiding us. Now today we are going to be a little busy bees today. We are going to continue working, studying Acts 9, 36 through 42. And that teaches us that everyday acts of kindness are powerful, right? They are very powerful, whether we hold a hand or what we do. We're studying about finishing up with Tabitha is a peacemaker. She helped people feel good about themselves. What she shared was genuine. She made a difference, supported peace in her community. And our memory verse today is, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Peter 4:10. I thought that was pretty fitting for our Be a Blessing Saturday yesterday. And if anybody can join us for our next one, it is in July, and you are welcome the second Saturday. And we also have one left in August. And so your donations are greatly appreciated too. Let's give a quick prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us today. We thank you for everything that you have given us in the children's ministry. We thank you for this wonderful buzzing summer sessions that we have started and for the 27 bags we did yesterday. Please help us as we celebrate Pastor Bethany. May it be a rememberable and wondrous occasion. Thank you very much, Lord. Amen.
God. you ever sat with Pastor Bethany in a Bible study, if you've had a conversation with Pastor Bethany about her call to ministry, as a matter of fact, if you simply have shared a conversation with Pastor Bethany, you know how much that anthem is a portrait of who she is, both in her vocation and in her heart. And so we thank the chancel choir for offering that this morning. This morning we take time to give the members and the friends of the church an opportunity to provide their financial gifts to the church, the offering and tithes that support the mission and vision of Midland First United Methodist Church. It's also a time for all of us to reflect back. Indeed, days like today are milestones in our lives as a church and individually. And so it's 3 years. And I imagine for Pastor Bethany and for many in our congregation, it's like, where did that time go? For us parents who are raising kids, it's like a time warp, right? Our children are incredibly growing fast, as my son agrees with me. For others of us, this is a whole season of life. And these milestones invite us to think back to what God is doing in our lives. And so during this time of offering, I invite you to reflect on that. How is God showing up in your life? In miraculous and breakthrough ways. To open up doors to new possibilities. To sustain us in the journey. To meet us each morning with new mercies. And so during this offering, I invite you to reflect on that. If you're a guest here today, we simply invite you to sit back and to use this time for reflection. To our members and friends who use this as a time also to give back to the church financially to support the ministries, we continue to thank you. At this time, I invite our ushers to please come forward.
Lift thine eyes, oh, lift thine eyes to the mountains whence come. Thy help come, thy help come, thy help come, the throne, the Lord, the Maker.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you continue to show up in our life, to show up in our faith, to show up on our path as we seek to follow you. Lord, we offer these gifts and offerings to you, asking that you might bless them and use them to invite others onto your path. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture this morning comes from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, with selected verses from John chapter 14. This passage is often referred to as Jesus' farewell discourse, as Jesus speaks to leaving his disciples in the way that they had ordinarily experienced him. So Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. For from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Later on in verse 18, "I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to him." Later in verse 25, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When Gabrielle asked me to think about hymns for today, I felt a little bit overwhelmed because there are so many that say so much and are so beautiful. The last few times I've preached, I've gotten to point back to one of my favorites, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." And thinking about how the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity that we celebrate at Advent and Christmas and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are intimately related. Christmas and Easter. Our closing hymn today, I think, is especially appropriate, not because it is my most favorite, though it is my most favorite, but because it encompasses what the body of Christ is created, called, and equipped for, to tell the story of the living God who created us in his image, took on flesh, died, and rose for us. All of our music is very well chosen. Thank you, Gabrielle. It's very beautiful. It all suits our text this morning, in which we see Jesus with his disciples after the Passover meal, right before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has washed their feet, told them, told of his upcoming betrayal, given them a new commandment, and told Peter of his upcoming denial of Jesus. Then begins our passage. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt hearing that after Jesus had just told him that despite the fact that he has volunteered right then to die with him, later Peter will deny that he even knows Jesus. Then Thomas asks, how then can we know the way to the Father? To which Jesus replies that he is the way, he is the truth and the life. And if you've seen him, you have seen the Father. You've heard me say in my time as your associate pastor, in many different arenas or spaces and places, that the most important question we can ask in theology is, who is God? It's because our faith and our hope rest in the Trinity. The living God. And we can't love who we don't know. And knowledge, as an end in and of itself, has no love in it. Perhaps it seems counterintuitive to think that a loving God in the flesh would leave those he loves. After all, most people can't see the Holy Spirit with their eyes. Yet Jesus says in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. I chose our passage for today because it is my greatest hope, that in it you see a God who invites the disciples, including you and me, to trust him, even when we don't understand the story that God is writing. In Jesus returning to the Father, we get a glimpse at the deeper reality of the story, the bigger picture. Jesus hasn't truly left us. Now, the Trinity dwells in us through our baptism. When we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The very identity of the triune God himself. There's a theological term called perichoresis. P-E-R-I-C-H-O-R-E-S-I-S. That means that each of the persons of the Trinity, though indeed distinct, mutually indwell one another. That means their will, their thoughts, their desires are the exact same, even in their unique personhood. They can't be separated. Friends, I want you to hear this about God, specifically in the context of today's passage, because as I leave you and I'm no longer your associate pastor, in the love of God, we are connected through the Holy Spirit. I will not cease to pray for you, even as I don't see you anymore. Because prayer transcends time and space. And in the love of God, we have the same desires to know God and to love Him as a result. A result of what it is that we know, and to show Him and His love to everyone and to share it as abundantly as we can, to tell the story over and over and over every day of our lives. It will be our theme in glory. That's a line in the chorus, and it's part of why it makes that hymn my favorite. To help us understand how beautiful this gift is that we have, that God has come to us in the flesh and is coming again to take us to Himself, which means that we don't have to be afraid of anything. He will take us to Himself, and we shall live with Him, the Trinity, forever. I want to share with you a part of my story that anchors my faith, such that come what may, that anchor will hold within the veil. I am certainly not perfect, and it doesn't mean that I am fearless either, but it anchors me. But first, I want to say two things. By all means, tell others if it's appropriate to do so. This isn't the first time that I've told it in public, but it is one that I keep very close to my heart because it means so much to me. And second, this story is about God and what God has done. And I'm telling it to you for His glory and only for that. Okay, here we go. What Jesus is telling the disciples in John 14 as He leaves them matters. And it matters that we tell others. Because the way it looks in my own life is like this. The story of the faith that He is writing in me begins at my baptism. For context, this was 1998. And so there were no cell phones, or they were fairly new. Some of you might know that I was born prematurely, 14 weeks to be exact. And at that time, my parents were driving about an hour and a half almost every day from Hersey to Grand Rapids while I was in the NICU for 3 months. When I was born, I weighed 1 pound and 12 ounces, and I dropped to 1 pound and 8 in a few days. And because I was so premature, I had many complications. One being that my lungs were so underdeveloped that they had holes in them. One day, shortly after I was born, my parents came into the room and they said, the doctors said, we tried to call you. And like I said, they didn't have cell phones. And I was surrounded by doctors at that time in my little incubator. And I had been on a ventilator at 100% for 11 days straight. My parents walked into the room and then they said, there's nothing more that we can do for her. So my mom said, to my grandma, call Pastor John. We want to get her baptized before she dies. She did, and he and Debbie came with their kids. He could not hold me in his arms because I wasn't allowed out of the incubator. And instead of water to baptize me because of how fragile my body was, he needed to use a sterile saline solution. And I am no doctor or nurse, but I'm sure, I know we have nurses in our congregation. Within an hour of being baptized, I was taking breaths on my own, which meant they had to tone down the ventilator. It would be 3 more months before I could leave the hospital at only 4 pounds and still being fed through a tube. But my baptism has marked and shaped my life because it was the medium that God chose to knit my lungs together so that I would live. It's the reason I'm able to do every single thing that I ever have and ever will accomplish. It is the reason that I'm sitting up here. I did the math. God has been faithful over 10,000 days at this point. I think of the story of my baptism often in everyday life. And I stand in awe of who God is and what he has done and what he is doing, not just in my life, but in the world. This is why the gospel matters. This is why we run the race and fight the good fight of faith, because they aren't just words on a page or stories. The disciples were real people with real lives, real fear, real sorrow at the leaving of Jesus. They aren't just words on a page. They anchor us in who God is and what he's done in our lives. He is the prize at the end of the race. He is the fulfillment. All hail King Jesus, King of the universe. There is no bigger God-sized dream than to fix our eyes on him and to run full speed ahead, to dare to say yes, even when the outcome looks awful, even when the outcome looks impossible. I know full well that it is a miracle that I'm alive and I'm living proof that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Every birthday serves as a reminder of God's constant faithfulness and miracle-working power. I know from experience, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, that we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. His life is my life, and my life is his life. Please remember, this is about God, to bring him glory. I wanted you to hear this part of my story because what God did then has formed who I am at the deepest level. And it's the why behind making sure you understand clearly what I preach and teach. From beginning to end, it's about Jesus, the story God has given us, all of us, as Christians. It's about Jesus, and it's so beautiful. Each of us has our own testimony of how the Lord has worked in our lives and of the ways he has not left us alone, even as Jesus has gone to be with the Father. We have all been given such a profound gift to get to share it. Pastor Brian is coming in a few weeks, and he'll bring different gifts than I have. He will love you with everything he has to give. I love you with everything that I have. Please love him and celebrate the gifts that he brings. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter who's standing in the pulpit. It's not about any of us. What we have to tell and to teach is all about God and what he's done. The ultimate God-sized dream is to be one with him, to live with and love him forever in eternity, and to spread that news, to spread that hope and joy and promise. So Midland First, run the race. Run fast. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, to remind us what Jesus taught and lead us into all truth, do not lose sight of the fact that he himself is the prize at the end. Everything else is leading to him. And then in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in prayer. Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, fill this room with your life, with your love and your power. Fill each and every person in this building with yourself, and those who are watching online as well. Stir in our hearts and minds how you are calling us to follow you deeper in faith. Help us to love you in ever-increasing measure and lead us into all truth. Jesus, thank you for showing us the Father and that you have sent the Holy Spirit. You are the image of the invisible God. We bless you, Lord, for who you are and for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you for all that you have given to us. Help us all to tell the story of God's love with joy and peace, because you are true. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Help us to be your hands and feet in the world. We pray for the persecuted church today who cannot worship you freely. Give them strength and courage to love you even in the midst of hardship and to love you until the end. We pray for all those who are struggling today and who are in need of basic necessities. Lord, provide them in your abundance. Provide for every need. draw us to yourself, O God, and fix our eyes and our hearts such that we would never desire to turn from your will. Thank you for the privilege that it is to pray and to tell you everything, because you love us and you want to hear it, even though you know what we need before we ask it. Thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
As Pastor Bethany shared her life story, as much as I appreciate Pastor John and his wife Debbie, and I trust his discernment, I imagine that several decades ago, as big as Pastor John's imagination is and faith is, and the God we know and the God we love, I find it hard to believe that Pastor John envisioned this moment when a church would be saying thank you for your ministry, for your leadership, for your heart for God in the church as pastor. And yet here we are. Pastor John, we're talking about, is our district superintendent. He is the one who helped appoint Pastor Bethany. He is the one who is encouraging her along the way. This is the God who we worship. This is the God who writes our stories. This is the God who Pastor Bethany is pointing us to keep telling the story. I want us to appreciate that this morning. As we now prepare for our hard yet healthy acknowledgement that Pastor Bethany's time among us as the church's associate pastor is ending. Now, this does not mean that we are cutting Pastor Bethany off from our faith community. I'm not asking, nor is the church's leadership asking, that you unfriend her if you are friends with her on Facebook, or unfollow in any way like that. We're not asking you to purge your contact list. Pastor Bethany is forever a part of this church's story. And if you need a reminder of that, there's a stained glass window in the office corridor that is dedicated to all the pastors who have served this church. It's midway down the hallway. And there's a plaque with every pastor who has served this church. Pastor Bethany's name is on there. I hope maybe you'll take an etching of it on your way out. Her story is a part of our story. And thankfully, our story is also a part of hers. And so we will continue to root you on.
Thank you.
Pray you on. As I shared with you, you're going to have a lot of eyeballs over your shoulders. Know that they are good. Know that they are part of your cloud of witness. But what this moment is and what it means is that her pastoral responsibilities and role among us are coming to an end. It does mean that we will not turn to Pastor Bethany at this point in time to help lead the church, to nurture our kids and our youth and their faith, or to come alongside us during the most difficult times in our life, as she has done so faithfully over the past 3 years. And so why do we do this as the church? Why do we end pastoral appointments? In some ways, it's to free Pastor Bethany up, to pursue her God-sized dream, her calling, to continue the next chapter in her story. It's also to make room for pastors who are coming. Pastor Brian, Pastor Mike, Pastor Lisa, to begin to use their gifts and weave their story into our art, into our own. And so if we formally take time now in worship to entrust one another to God's care. And so in a moment, I'm going to turn things over to Brad Barr, who serves as our Strategic Leadership Council Chair, to share a few words. Then Pastor Bethany will lead us in our responsive reading for this day. And lay leader Pat Seaton will end our time with a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing. So Brad?
Very good. Pastor Bethany, on behalf of the congregation of Midland First United Methodist Church, I want to thank you for the love you shared with us over these 3 years of your ministry with us. Please accept these love gifts from our congregation in appreciation of your spiritual guidance, your inspiration, your service to our congregation, our children, and our youth, and the many loving relationships that you've developed during our time together. We know that you will be a blessing to those with whom you will serve in your future. We pray for you as you transition to this new call to chase your own God-sized dream.
Thank you.
Godspeed.
Thank you. I thank you, the members and friends of Midland First United Methodist Church, for the love and support you've shown me while I've ministered among you. I'm grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted. I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I've made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now need to minister elsewhere. We express our gratitude for your time among us. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes. Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us in your departure.
I accept your gratitude and forgiveness, and I forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me. I encourage your continuing ministry here and will pray for you and for your new pastor, Reverend Brian Kilpatrick. Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for cherished memories and commend one another into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in your love forever. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up Pastor Bethany to you with hearts full of gratitude for her time among us, for the years of faithful ministry she has shared with our church family. We thank you for the lessons taught, the souls nurtured, the seeds planted, the love she has shown, and the way she has pointed us to Jesus. As we say goodbye, we ask you to bless her going out just as you blessed her coming in. As she transitions to a new phase of life and learning, we pray for your continued blessings upon her. Grant her peace, joy, and fulfillment in whatever you have planned for her next. Provide her with strength and courage to embrace new challenges, and surround her with a community that will benefit from her wisdom and love as much as we have. May her journey forward be lit with the same commitment to your word that she shared with us. Go with her, protect her, and fill her next chapter with your grace, ensuring her needs are met and her future is secure in your hands. We ask this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I want to remind you that everyone is invited to the reception afterwards in the Fellowship Hall. Again, that's being hosted by our Strategic Leadership Council and our worship team. Hope that you will take the time to express your gratitude and pass along your best wishes to Pastor Bethany as she begins this new chapter. Let us pray God's blessing upon that time together. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all 10,000 and plus days of Pastor Bethany's life, how you have offered all that is good in her life, and how she has declared that story in her life. We pray your blessings upon our gathering downstairs, our fellowship, indeed the food that's been prepared for us. We pray your blessings upon the hands that have prepared that food and share with us this day. God, you are so good, and we offer this time as a time of thanksgiving to you and to Pastor Bethany. And so we pray your blessings upon our gathering later today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to invite our leaders, our children, and our youth to return to the pews. I invite you to stand and join us for our closing hymn, indeed very appropriately. I love to tell this story. You'll find this on page 156 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you.
Midland First. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, it will be the same story that we've loved for so long. And this, the last 3 years, we have been a part of one another's story. This grand, part of this grand story that the Lord is writing because he loves us. God is love such that we can't even imagine it in this life to the fullest. And one day, we will sing together that new song. But until then, I want you to know two things. I want you to know how deeply I love and care about you, and how I will be praying for you all along the journey. And that as you are blessed with several new pastors, they will be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful part of your story. And someday, all of the members of our congregation and all of the pastors will sing it together in scenes of glory, the new song together. What a beautiful, beautiful promise from our God, who is love, created us in love, created us for love, and to dwell in the life of the Trinity, God's own life. Go then and tell the story in as many ways as you can, in all the places you can. Tell the ways that God has worked in your life, and tell the stories of Scripture that resonate with you the most. God bless you, Midland First. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.